Please take your Bibles and turn in them with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Begin reading at verse 7, page 1249, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philippians 3. We'll also read from Matthew, and it's from Matthew our text is taken this morning. But first we'll read Philippians 3, beginning at verse 7. People of God, hear now God's holy word. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 19 and we'll read through verse 6 of chapter 7. Our text will be that section in our Bibles that is indicated, do not be anxious, beginning at verse 25. Page 1031 in the Pew Bibles, Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. As far as the reading of God's holy word, again, our text is taken from verse 25 through verse 34. Worry. Anxiety. That's an epidemic in our society. Our society is the wealthiest in the history of the world. And yet, aren't we tempted to be anxious? Anxious about the future? Anxious about our health? Anxious about politics? Anxious about children? Anxious about so many things. Millions of dollars, perhaps billions of dollars worth of medication each year is consumed to mask the effects of worry. Many try to drown their worries in alcohol or in certain medications. Now, sometimes it's good, it's proper to use certain medications, but not when spiritual issues are ignored. It's no coincidence that in our land, as true religion has declined, worry has increased. It's not because the government has failed that some people are bitter and worried. It's because people in general have forsaken God, have sought out their own religion. It's because people in our land have drifted into false religion. That worry is so prominent around us. But, you know, it's not just out there. Aren't we tempted to worry, to be anxious? Now, Jesus knew false religion in his own time, much as he knows it today. Knew it during the godless Roman Empire, the paganism, the Gentiles, what they worshipped, how they worshipped, what they believed. Jesus knows too what we're tempted to do. And so in this teaching, three times he says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. But understand, people of God, this isn't a pill that you can take in the morning and then go on with your life. This isn't something you can, well, I tried that. I tried Jesus and he didn't work for me. So I moved on. I tried something else. This isn't something you can just try. Jesus is getting at our heart here. And only God can change one's heart. Jesus addresses that. And although there is the moment of regeneration when Jesus gives us by his Spirit a new heart, there's a lifetime of renewal where his people are being renewed. We need to be renewed. So we need to hear this teaching, think about it, ponder it, pray about it. By God's grace, put it into action in our lives. And this involves a lifetime of the Spirit of God turning you and me away from a natural outlook on life, like the Gentiles, away from the thinking of the world, turning us unto the teaching of Jesus, unto his power, his grace, his love. Even the oldest among us is tempted to worry. And so this begins with instruction, with hearing it, but it continues with a lifetime of believing, of renewal. In this way, we realize that Jesus replaces anxiety with faith. Jesus replaces anxiety with faith. And first, we want to consider from verses 26 through 30, God's provision in this age. God's provision in this age. Jesus talks about those who might worry. Well, if you worry about food, about drink, maybe where your next meal will come from. Maybe, well, I need to have just the right diet in order to prolong my life, to avoid heart disease, to avoid diabetes or Alzheimer's. Stop worrying. Jesus commands you to stop being anxious about such things. Now, the Gentiles are anxious about such things because the Gentiles, they have no hope beyond extending their earthly existence. Oh, they believed in a sort of an afterlife and they claimed there were gods. But really at its heart, Gentiles, and we see this especially today, they're materialists. They think that, and really when it boils down to it, there is nothing more than what we can see and what we can sense, nothing more to existence than, well, what we're already experiencing in these 30 or 70 or 100 years now. And so Gentiles are anxious about what they eat and drink. They're anxious about how can I add in a minute, an hour, a year, a decade to my life? Because for them, there is nothing more. They seek after these things. But Jesus tells you and me, don't be anxious about such things. Yes, follow good medical advice. Follow a reasonable diet, especially if you have diabetes or heart disease. I'm not saying don't do that, but don't be anxious. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? The birds don't obsessively count calories or religiously avoid this or that because of a worry and a concern. They have their food supplied. Of course, they work for their food. Children, now we don't have too many birds around now. There are some, but not many. But in the spring, in the summer, notice how busy the birds are finding food. But they're not anxious. That's the key. God provides. When God reduces the food for them somewhere, they move on somewhere else. They follow the leading of their creator, their sustainer. And Jesus is not teaching to avoid working for what we need or purposely keep the pantry bare or don't live in different places in your lifetime. The Apostle Paul instructs us, if a man will not work, he will not eat. In Ecclesiastes, we're told to throw our bread upon the waters. Cast your bread upon the waters for the future. Plan for the future. Jesus says, don't be anxious about it. God provides for what you need in this life. Are you not of more value than they? God will provide what you and I need. Brothers and sisters, do we doubt we're more valuable to God than a bird? Now, for most of us, our relationship to God, His valuing of us, it's probably absent from our thinking throughout the week, isn't it? Just look at the birds. Look at all God's creation throughout the day. Jesus calls us that. It's not just at this time during the church service, but all of life. God provides. Observe that. Trust Him. Great is God's faithfulness, providing for your need, His child, so much more than a bird. Don't worry about what you'll eat or drink. Having sufficient food and drink, that won't guarantee that you'll live another day. Food and drink, they're necessary for life, but they aren't guarantees of life. Many well-fed persons, they die of causes not related to food. We've seen that in this past week. We can't extend our life by having food and drink for years to come. Why are we so anxious about it? Jesus said then too, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to a span of life? Gentiles are anxious about that because Gentiles don't put their trust in the Creator God who feeds the birds of the air. They try to manipulate God, deny that God provides. And so they rob themselves of comfort, saying, look all around. God has given us those examples, that teaching. But even the Pharisees, they worried about food and drink. Not that they would have enough of it, at least we're not told all that, but we know from other places they worried about it being their righteousness. And they viewed righteousness of their life as mere food and drink in one sense, rather than seeking the true righteousness only God can supply. They looked for old covenant food and drink regulations, food and drink sacrifices, but those were just shadows. They were like Gentiles, worried about things of this age, trusting God to provide, even as He provides for the birds of the air. And Jesus points not only to the birds, but He also says, look at the lilies of the field. He said, verse 28, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, children, again, sometime this spring or summer, or maybe your mom has some flowers in a vase in the home now. Look at one of those flowers. Just Take time. If you have a microscope, look at it under the microscope. Look at the design. Look at the patterns. Look how God weaves each one together. God provides for these lilies a well-crafted body that, as Jesus points out, puts Solomon to shame. You're more valuable than a flower. Flower that lasts only for a few days and then is no more. God has these beautiful flowers to sprout, to bud, to flower for only a few days. And then they're gone. Your existence is so much longer than that. We're not evolutionists. We're not those who think everything evolved by chance, that there's no purpose. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, who knits and forms and fashions, who has a plan and a purpose for lilies, yes, for you and for me. But the Gentiles don't believe as we do. Again, in our context, they're materialists, evolutionists. No purpose, just finery, show. No morality. No design, no purpose, no value, ultimately. Don't be like the Gentiles. Look around and see and know what's obvious, what God has made obvious to you. There is a God. He cares for these things, for birds, for lilies. He cares for you. He cares for you. We think again of the Pharisees with the lilies. They thought a lot about clothing and righteousness. How they dressed demonstrated their obedience to the law, in that they would have a clothing of a single fabric instead of mixed fabric, or as we saw with fasting, think of sackcloth they would put on, looking for the praise of men, outward adornment. They put their stress there, their emphasis there. They sought to demonstrate their own righteousness by clothing so men could see them and praise them, rather than being clothed in the righteousness of God. So whether rejecting the air of the Gentiles or the Pharisees, don't be anxious. Trust God. Jesus said there in verse 30, "O you of little faith," isn't that all of us? Trust your heavenly Father. He provides for the birds, the lilies. He'll provide all you need in this present age. But he's also promised to provide beyond this age. And we move to that in our second point, God's promise beyond this age. Let's read verse 25, last part. "Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Now, two things with that. First, notice Jesus said, "Is not life more than food?" He didn't say more important. Some translations might have that. But he said simply more. Now, that's important. Second, Jesus asked, well, in our language, a rhetorical question. Of course life is more than food. Of course the body is more than clothes. And those who follow Jesus, who trust in God, we know there is more to life than food and drink. We know there's more to the body than clothes. The Gentiles, again, particularly with unbelief today, they hold there is nothing more than food and drink, nothing more than clothing. They think that food and drink are the whole of what sustains and energizes their life. They think clothing, well, that's what gives the body glory. Again, they're materialists. There's nothing beyond what I can see and feel and sense. Well, they might say to you, yes, yes, that's fine. Those are your traditions and values. But they have no use for something more than food, more than drink, more than clothing. And because unbelievers, because Gentiles have this wrong view of reality, because to draw from last week, their eye is bad. They spiritually don't discern things rightly. Their heart, their treasure is here on earth in the wrong place. They seek after these things. Jesus said, "For the Gentiles, seek after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." See, Jesus brings us beyond just what we can see with the eyes. The Gentiles seek after all these things. But what are we to seek? Same words used, verse 32, verse 33. God's kingdom, God's righteousness. That's what the Gentiles run after is food and drink and clothing. You and I are to run after God's kingdom. And their blindness, their hearts and their ignoring, rejecting the truth of God, the Creator, the Sustainer. They run after these things and they run over their neighbor. Jesus says, don't be like that. You know that's not true. Awake from your slumber. Open your eyes to realize the existence of God, His work of creation, His providence. He's preparing something beyond what you can see. And even with the Pharisees and the scribes that followed the Gentile mindset, but even worse, put it in a religious shell, they might chide the Gentile for not believing in the God of the Bible, but the Pharisees, the scribes, by their actions, looking for praise from men on earth, that's adopting the mindset of the Gentiles. You see, it's not just those who are just irreligious who have a mindset. It could be those who are very religious, who don't seek God's kingdom, don't seek God's righteousness. Isn't that what we're tempted to do? Tempted to conform our thinking to that way of life? How often aren't our hearts led astray with what the Gentiles are seeking? Think of radio and television commercials. What does your neighbor purchase? What do you see on social media? So many people obsessed with food, drink, clothing, seeking those things. Life hasn't changed too much. Human nature hasn't changed. But life is more than food. The body more than clothing. There are entire dimensions, as we know as believers, to life and body beyond what we can touch and see, as well as beyond the here and now. There's goodness, there's truth, there's beauty. The Gentiles are consumed with the here and now because they lack the eyes of faith to see what can't be seen now as well as to see the future. The Pharisees believed in a future life, but they didn't grasp the nature of true righteousness. Instead, they focused on what they could touch and see, the praise of man. That is not for us. It's not for you and me, child of God, follower of Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is real. It's not fiction. The Gentile is wrong. The righteousness of God has come to us in Christ. It's not something we have to work ourselves. The Pharisee is wrong. We, by God's grace, are to pursue the kingdom of God, His righteousness. That's what's ultimate. That's what's future, but that's also what's present and already being brought to us from Jesus. To seek first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom? Sermon series could be preached on that, but briefly, you can say the kingdom of God is God's rule triumphant. God's rule present in power and embraced joyfully. It's loving God, not food and drink. It's loving neighbor, not clothing. It's the kingdom that Jesus has brought. It's this kingdom you and I are to seek. It's intimately related to God's righteousness, even as Jesus connects them. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jesus has brought the kingdom by His righteousness. Jesus is the righteous one sent from God, who took upon Himself, who clothed Himself with our human nature. And in that nature, Jesus fulfilled all righteousness, which no Gentile, no Pharisee. None of us do. Jesus, children, you know some of His miracles. Didn't He multiply food? But food wasn't His focus. Jesus suffered the full penalty for our sin, fully satisfying God's justice as He suffered and died on the cross. He let others take His clothing, and He was hung on the cross, offering Himself as a sacrifice for sin, knowing that life is more than clothing. It's righteousness. And Jesus was raised from the dead, clothed with immortal life, never to die again, living in the glory of the new heavens and the new earth. The righteousness of God in Christ, love for God, love for neighbor, the kingdom of heaven, it's come. It's this kingdom Christ has brought. It's one of glory, it's one of power, it's one of resurrection. It's not restricted to food and drink and clothing. It's not what the kingdom is all about. That's what really matters. It's what the Pharisee Saul of Tarsus, we know as Paul. It's what God opened his mind and his heart to embrace. As we read from Philippians 3, he said, whatever gain I had, whether that be righteousness or whatever gain, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but one that comes through faith in Jesus. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. A righteousness of God that we may know Christ, that we may know the power of his resurrection, that we might know his suffering, becoming like him in his death, becoming like him. By any means possible, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Believer, that's yours. It's the righteousness of God in Christ received through faith. As often as we accept that gospel promise, God forgives our sins. Because of what Christ has done, he counts us righteous. And that's through faith, not food, not drink, not clothing, not the length of our life on this earth. Through faith in Jesus. Don't be anxious. But unbelievers, those who have not repented, who are not believing, the anger of God and eternal condemnation rest on them, regardless of how many food, clothing, drink, how long they live. They had better worry. They had better be anxious, not for food and drink and clothing, but for their soul. Where will you be 5,000 years from now? If someone is outside of Christ, the worries, they will consume them, if not in this life, then at the judgment day, when Christ will judge all. That call goes forth, repent, believe. Count these things but rubbish. That's what Paul did. He said, I count them but rubbish. Children, you know what rubbish is? It's garbage. Do you worry about the garbage? Well, if you haven't taken it out, you might worry that you ought to. But once you take it out, it's gone. You throw it away. You don't think about it. You don't worry about it anymore. You're done with it. We are called to be like that. We want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection. Not food, not drink, not clothing. Sharing in his sufferings, not sharing in praise from men. Becoming like him in his death. And attaining then to the resurrection of the dead. For those who trust in Jesus, all these things will be added. Don't doubt. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Seek the righteousness of God. Trust in Jesus. Seek the kingdom of God. Love neighbor. Love God. And yet, how much we say of ourselves, we are of little faith. By faith, we ought to see beyond our earthly eyes. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith looks beyond this age, looks beyond clothing, looks beyond food, looks beyond drink. But aren't we often anxious? So how do we get this faith? How can we not be of little faith? How can our faith grow? Well, it's not from the world. Quite the opposite. It's not from you and me. Jesus calls his hearers, though, of little faith. Faith comes from God. God, the Holy Spirit, creates faith in someone's heart and then strengthens his faith by the preaching of the gospel, by the sacraments. As God has his messenger proclaim to you, Jesus has accomplished all that righteousness. Trust him, his life, his death, his resurrection. God provides beyond this age for you. Pray that God would increase your faith. Parents, pray that God would work that faith and increase it in the hearts of your children as they hear, as you tell them that gospel day by day.
So what should we do? Attend worship. Don't seek your own pleasures, food and drink, clothing on the Lord's day. Listen closely to the preaching. Don't sleep. Don't daydream. Read the Bible in your homes. Talk about it with one another. How strong is your faith? How can we strengthen our faith? Well, it's only the Holy Spirit who does that. He does it by gospel preaching, His Word, the sacraments. I can't give you a prescription to increase your faith of a drug you can take. But don't look to the world. Look to God and Jesus. Don't moan about your worry. God has given the solution. Jesus replaces Gentile anxiety with Christian faith. And that's what He brings out here. Surround it all with prayer. And as we do that, then Jesus says, don't be anxious. And we come to that in our third point. Now, three times we mentioned in this passage, Jesus tells His followers not to be anxious. First part of verse 25, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Then verse 31, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? And then verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, being anxious is not the same as planning ahead. Being anxious is not the same as working hard at something. Notice Jesus doesn't say, don't work to supply food or drink. He says, don't be anxious. When we're anxious, we lose sleep. We worry. Our stomach is tied in knots, isn't it? When we're anxious, we filter the world and life through our worries. We're consumed with it. It consumes us. When we're anxious, we're more concerned with ourselves than with our neighbor and serving and loving. Yet to love God, to love neighbor, that's what we're commanded to do. So don't be anxious about the dent in your car. Be concerned about your son who caused that dent. And don't be anxious about that heirloom china cup that broke. Be concerned with the soul of the person, your neighbor, who broke it. Don't be anxious. Three times Jesus says that. And also three times He says the word therefore. Now, young people, when you're reading the Bible, you see that word therefore. There's a little quip, a little saying that says, find out what it's there for. It connects things, the Bible teaching. And it's with these therefores that we find the fix to our worry, to our being anxious. This command to not be anxious, it follows Jesus' teaching. He gives teaching and He says, therefore, do not be anxious. And that's how the Bible is structured. God gives teaching of what He has done, who He is, and then He says, now do this. So too, how do we see this? What do we see this structured at? The first therefore, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, what came before that? Well, we had it last week. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. Don't be anxious of food and drink. Your master will provide all you need. Trust God. Submit to His lordship. Follow Him. He's your master. Therefore, don't be anxious. He'll provide. The second therefore. You see it there in verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious. What came before that? Well, it's how God provides with the birds of the air and the lilies. If God provides for the lesser things in creation, see that, understand that. Therefore, trust God to provide for you and don't be anxious. Look around. Open your eyes. The third therefore. Therefore, verse 34, do not be anxious about tomorrow. What came just before that? Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. Jesus has brought righteousness and resurrection. The new heavens and the new earth. He has brought that which matters most. Not food and clothing and drink. Trust Jesus and His righteousness. Seek that loving God, loving neighbor. And then, don't worry. Keep focused on the kingdom. And you won't worry. So what should we do when we find ourselves being anxious? Return to these three teachings. Especially to the gospel. Jesus has brought the kingdom. He's brought righteousness. He supplied the righteousness you need to be brought into the kingdom. God is your Father because of Christ. If He provides for the lilies, He'll provide for you. If He provides for the birds, He'll provide for you. Follow Him as your master. When you go astray from His law, there's only pain. There's only confusion. There's only worry. See, Jesus gives that here, the teaching, and then, trust me, don't be anxious. And as we keep that in our minds, as we encourage one another, yes, we'll still struggle with anxiety. That's why Jesus gave this teaching. Point others to Jesus. Bring out what we know is true. Jesus replaces that Gentile anxiety with Christian faith. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow, it'll be anxious about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We've seen that, haven't we? And we'll continue to see it. But God has promised. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Faithfulness to supply you what you need now and beyond. He has provided. He will provide. Trust Him. Don't be anxious. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You've made clear to us how we aren't to be anxious, but also how not to be anxious. You've tied it to Your care for us, that You're master. We are to follow You. We are to trust You and seek You. But our faith is weak. And so, Lord, as we hear more about Jesus, as we talk about Jesus in our homes and in all through life, would You strengthen our faith? As we partake of the sacraments, the Lord's Supper, and remember our baptism, strengthen our faith. May we not doubt. But as we encounter anxiety and worry in our lives, give us grace to focus on Jesus, to focus off of ourselves, to seek first Your kingdom, Your righteousness, and all these things will be added. Lord, strengthen our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.